You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. We've been focusing all week on the situation in Iran. It's a story about a country far away from the United States, but it's also a story about our neighbors. Many of the people on your own street, in your own neighborhood, are having their own very personal relationship with what's going on in Iran. We're going to hear some of those voices today. The latest from Iran today, Iran's top electoral body said it found no major fraud and will not annul the results of the June 12th election. That closes the door to a so-called do-over sought by angry opposition supporters alleging systematic vote rigging. It was the clearest yet ruling on a do-over and the fact that the election result will apparently stand. But it's a domestic story. As unrest in Iran continues, the question of which sources to use and which to dismiss in covering the unrest in Tehran is becoming more of an issue for anyone reading the news. But there are different priorities for Iranian Americans, journalists, and even the Obama administration. Everyone following the news has to form their own opinions from a mix of news reports, Twitter feeds, third-hand accounts. Joining us are three people who represent different points of media consumption on Iran like right now, but the story is very, very close to the heart of all of them. Kelly Niknejad, we were just speaking with, is founder and editor of TehranBureau.com, an Iranian news site, an aggregator of all kinds of news. Kelly, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us again is Amir Farouki, an Iranian-American attorney in Atlanta, where The Takeaway is on the air. And we also have an artist who moved from Iran to America just 1 year ago. She's in the studio with me. We're going to call her Nazee for the purposes of this interview. Her real name she doesn't want us to use for reasons that we will actually discuss. First of all, Amir, thanks for joining us again.
It's my pleasure.
And Nazee, let me begin with you. You've been watching the coverage, and as someone who's returning to Iran in the next couple of weeks, correct?
Yes.
How do you make sense of what's going on, and what do you expect to find when you return home?
Yeah, actually, it's very shocking. I can't believe that, you know, these things are happening. But fortunately, I'm in contact with Iran every day, at least twice a day, so I have the sense, you know, from there, so I'm sure when I go there, I know exactly what's going on because I talk with people every day, twice, three times a day. And
family safe?
Yeah, family. I mean, it depends how you, you know, define safe.
Right, right. No brothers and sisters out in the streets at this point, or do you have
Yes, I have my very close family members out in the streets, and it's very interesting that I see different type of, you know, persons now in my family and among my colleagues and my friends, which are more artists and lecturers, are in the streets. And it's amazing how they feel right now.
Amir Farouki, how have your neighbors changed their view of you in the midst of all of this? I mean, I suspect everyone knew you were Iranian-American, but all of a sudden your identity is at the center of a global news story.
Right. Well, yeah, I kind of straddled the line. My mother is American. My father is from Iran. But what I think we're seeing is this widespread support within the Iranian-American community, but also outside, of this brave reawakening of Iran that many people had forgotten existed to begin with, you know, this progressive, opinionated, more moderate Iran. And I also think we're seeing an embrace of kind of a manifestation of a backlash against Ahmadinejad's sometimes demonization of the Iranian people by way of his rhetoric.
You're running for city council there in Atlanta, right?
That's correct.
I mean, does this raise your profile? I mean, any sort of bumper stickers, a vote for Amir Farouki is a vote for Mousavi?
I don't think so. I think my race is about the efficiency and effectiveness of city government. It's not about my identity. And I don't message myself in that way at all. I'm born and raised in the United States, born and raised in Atlanta, for that matter. And I jumped into the city council race, and I'm campaigning on city issues, which is...
Well, no,
is
of course, and I don't mean any disrespect, but it is interesting that an identity that has remained, in some sense, in the background, is suddenly transforming Iranian-Americans here in the United States, and there are 500,000 in Southern California and many, many more all around the United States. Kelly Niknejad, editor and founder of Tehran Bureau, what do you think the influence of expatriate Iranians is in what's going on in Tehran right now?
It could be very dangerous. What I've noticed is that certain French diaspora groups are trying to hijack this movement for their own failed purposes over the past 30 years. And it's very important to show solidarity with what's going on, but it's also a different thing to try to use this to air their grievances and make it be about them. So that's been unfortunate, and that's something that is not doing anyone any help by associating groups that have nothing to do with what's going on with what's going on, because it can be used against them. Things that don't exist will be used against them, let alone when there's there's evidence to suggest you can use something against them. So it's very dangerous, but...
Well, certainly the narrative of foreign stooges bringing down a revolution inside a country, especially if it's directed from the United States, is a familiar one in Iran. And Barack Obama, we ran a clip from his Cairo speech where he talked specifically about the U.S. role in bringing down the Mossadegh government in 1953. As you hear, Kelly, the calls by certain Republican lawmakers that Barack Obama needs to stand up and take more of a stand for the opposition, do you think that is appropriate here? And what do Iranian Americans think about this approach of the Obama administration?
You know, it's very tricky. It's a very difficult one. I don't think it's a black and white issue. I think what's important is that we don't do anything to crush a democratic movement that has been taking form over the past 30 years at least, and it's manifested in this way. So, like Mr. Obama said, 1953, we orchestrated a coup against Mossadegh and crushed that democratic movement, or at least nipped it in the bud. So anything we do wrong now to turn the Iranian people against the West would be to crush it. So if we do, earlier when the election was taken, soon after the election, President Obama said that he will continue to reach out to whoever is declared president of Iran. That's not neutrality, and that's not winning any fans. So what I've heard, again, it's not my opinion, but things that I've heard from Iran, from various people in different places, in different situations, was that, the United States has a moral obligation. The world, it wasn't pinpointed at the United States, but the West, Europe, has a moral obligation to stand up for human rights. And, of course,
and stand with the opposition by implication. Nazi, do you agree with that? Is that what you're hearing from inside Iran? And what do you think personally about that?
Yeah, actually, I think it's true. And it's, in my opinion, it's very important. I just got an email this morning from a friend in Tehran that he insisted that the Western prescription is not for us, and just demand the help of Iranian people outside Iran, the lecturers, the intellectuals, the professors, the political analysts, that they help us to, reach our achievement and be united. And I think the help of Obama or American government directly is very, very dangerous right now.
Amir Farouki, is there unanimity among Iranian Americans about what to do from the Washington perspective?
I don't think so. I think we're seeing a bit of a generational gap in response to what's going on in Iran. You have, as Kelly mentioned, there's an element of the Iranian American community, this kind of pro-monarchy group that has been trying for 30 plus years to return to Iran, and they've kind of muddied the waters a bit. But I think generally those under the age of 40 who are there in spirit and see themselves as brothers and sisters of those who are on the streets have viewed the American response as dead on. And I think Obama has towed a dead on but delicate stance of standing up for free speech and freedom of assembly, but not injecting the United States into domestic politics in Iran. Because, as Kelly and Nazi mentioned, when we do that, we tend to give the hardliners ground to push back and to demonize the reformers.
Right, and Obama is likely to say more about this at a news conference later today. We've been asking everybody, what's the headline? What would the headline be for you where the emphasis should be on this story? Very quickly, Amir Farouki, what do you think?
The reawakening of Iran.
Nazi, what do you think the headline should be?
I think put aside all different agendas and just be united.
Kelly, you want to give us a last word?
Not The Awakening is good.
The Awakening is good. Kelly Nicknajad, editor and founder of Tehran Bureau, a site that aggregates news on Iran. Nazi, an Iranian artist working in New York on her way back to her home country in the next couple of weeks. And Amir Farouki, attorney in Atlanta, member of the Iranian-American community there, also running for city council. Amir, thanks.